Happy annual strategy Bev and Hooker's weekend at Seaside. That crowd, three's a crowd, isn't it? So three conservative leaders in Oregon say that they'll skip the annual Republican retreat on the coast this year because the organizers have planned a debate, wait for it, over same-sex marriage. Just a debate. They'd not pass a measure or sign off on it. Just a debate. And have circulated a video in which the conference founder reminisces about his favorite moment when attendees voted to oppose the ban on abortion. So, they're holding their own conference, three of them. In Olympia yesterday, Senate panel heard public testimony on a measure that would prohibit any Washington governor from issuing a death penalty reprieve until after receiving a recommendation from the State Clemency and Pardons Board. A ray of light. In European countries, the feelings about the death penalty are very clear and very strong, and the Europeans have thoroughly rejected it. We still, of course, the United States shares that proclivity to put people to death with China and Iran. We're more or less pariahs in the rest of the world in that respect, and many others, I might add. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has blocked a vote on a GOP alternative to a Democratic bill enhancing health care, education, job training benefits for veterans, and eliminating some of the improvements and slapping sanctions on Iran as well. It's a strange piece of legislation, and Republicans citing Reid's move were expected to rally behind a procedural effort to derail the veterans bill. Each party, of course, accuses the other of seeking partisan gain, and I find that that's an extraordinary perspective that across the board, it seems that Republicans, Democrats alike feel that to be fair and balanced about it, they have to say, well, the blame is shared equally when it is manifestly obvious exactly where the blame for a procedural obfuscating seems to fall. I don't think there should be any question of that any longer. And of course, tax reform and Republicans. What are you going to do? One GOP had a solution. He thought that 25% should be there should be two tax levels, one 25% one for the wealthy and one 10% for not so wealthy. And naturally, we know that will be flipped in reality when push comes to shove, and the poor will find themselves paying the 25% and the wealthy will pay 10, if that. And the mainstream media is failing when it comes to covering the story of the century, climate change. Media Matters reported that there's no better example of this failure than the decline of climate coverage at Reuters, no less, the world's oldest and some would argue most trustworthy news resource. Since that news organization hired Paul Ingrassia as deputy editor-in-chief, Ingrassia, who is now managing editor at Reuters, is a self-described climate skeptic. So, no wonder. Well, we're still waiting to see if we've got our guests ready to go. We're still trying to get a guest on the line right now, and we'll keep trying to arrange that for you. We are expecting to hear then from Lynn Stewart and husband Ralph Poynter at any moment now. It's a little bit hard to make that connection, but we are working on it right now, even as we speak. We have a lot of news to get through today, and we actually do have some real weather situations for you, because if you haven't stepped outside, I can tell you one thing, we are having some real weather out there. So while working on this, jotting down the number right now, even as we speak, I will say one thing. It is more than delightful to report that Lynn Stewart is, in fact, alive and rather well at this point.
Hello.
Okay, we should have her on the line in just a few. For now, occasional rain today. We've got occasional rain today. And southeast winds 5 to 8, a slight chance of rain in throughout the evening. New precipitation, not much there. Tonight, again, rain continuing, persisting through the early hours. Lows around 42. Light winds for tomorrow, partly sunny, believe it or not. Highs around 59. And a bit breezy, though, for tomorrow night. Showers, overcast skies, lows around 38, and there's even rumblings of a wee bit of snow tossed in there too to make life a little bit more exciting. We have an alternative forecast for you for today. The moon is 27 days old. It's a root moon in Capricorn, waning crescent. The synodic outlook is it's not a good time to be sowing anything in the garden. Instead, use this time for weeding and harvesting if you've got anything left to harvest. Some people do. The biodynamic forecast, moon in Capricorn, it's an earth sign. So think about root plants and not much else. The sidereal forecast, moon in Capricorn. And again, they agree with the biodynamicists, as often happens. Potatoes, tubers planted now will have strong growth. And So we are forging ahead where our noble and extraordinary engineer, Roch Bergeron, is about now getting Lynn Stewart on the line for us, and we should be speaking with her very soon. We still do have phone numbers to sort out. Even as we speak, let's talk though first about how the mainstream media has treated climate change. It's literally been observed that it could be considered criminal. Mainstream media is failing us when it comes to covering the story of the century. This chap Ingrassia now at Reuters. He's managing editor at the moment, self-described climate skeptic, and questions whether or not climate change is man-made. Denying climate change is, according to the United Nations Intergovernmental Report on the issue, is a consensus document, meaning that means 100% of the people who worked on it agreed with its findings. So there's no question there whatsoever that IPCC's authors are the top climate scientists on Earth. And they say that burning fossil fuels causes climate change. In light of this sort of scientific consensus, denying climate change is about as sensible as believing in a shape-shifting reptile Illuminati controlling the world. And again, many people do. So, you know, people have to, naturally, their voices and opinions have to be shared too. And as we so often attempt the balancing act, this could just as well be true too. According, though, to the piece in Media Matters and other sources, which just released a report on climate change coverage under Ingrassia, the so-called skeptic has gone and leveraged his position at the top of Reuters' editorial team to both suppress actual climate coverage and at the same time give undue attention to climate change deniers. Former Reuters Asia climate change reporter John Fogarty talked about what it was like to work for the guy in a recent blog post, which we can let you know how you can have a look at that. He says, just to give you a few of the highlights, it was a lottery, and that he was informed at one point that climate change just wasn't a big story for the present, but that it would be if there was a significant shift in global policy. A shift in global policy from what? From 100%? Well, very soon after the conversation, and this reporter says that that his role was abolished there. Fogarty also said that in the same blog posting that Ingrassia flat out told him at a company function that he was a climate skeptic but not a rabid one. Right, not rabid. Oh, good. Well, that's certainly refreshing. And more on that later, because it is infecting us here out in Cascadia, though perhaps not as dramatically as in some parts of the country, are having their third winter of the season. Meanwhile, California is actually considering using desalination plants to solve its water woes. The city of San Diego has never, as always had to import their water. And now the rest of the state is looking at some of the most incredible schemes that have come down the pike in a long while. We don't have our guest today. What are we going to do is I will give them a shout right now after the program, talk to them, and I'm going to put the audio up on the KBOO website so that we won't miss that after all. I do apologize for that. This has been Air Cascadia for February 27th, 2014. Bert Bergeron engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stab. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoint's newly obtained documents confirm that the Navy knew Fukushima releases dangerously contaminated U.S. sailors on the USS Reagan offshore from Japan. And we'll feature an in-depth look at the delicate nuclear negotiations ongoing now between the U.S. and Iran and the Israelis' ongoing attempts to sabotage them. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, a stunning new report indicates the U.S. Navy knew that sailors from the nuclear-powered USS Ronald Reagan took major radiation hits from the Fukushima atomic power plant after its meltdowns and explosions nearly 3 years ago. If true, reports Harvey Wasserman, many of these sailors, if this is true, the revelations cast new light on the $1 billion lawsuit by the sailors against Tokyo Electric Power. Many of the sailors are already suffering devastating health impacts, but are being stonewalled by TEPCO. That's the Japanese nuclear power industry and the Navy. Harvey Wasserman, welcome back to Flashpoints. Let's begin. Set the scene. Tell us about what's happening, what happened to the sailors, and how they're doing now.
Well, Dennis, it's an astonishing situation. The Navy, at the behest of the U.S. government, ran a humanitarian mission into Japan. We should be proud that this was done to aid the people from the tsunami and the earthquake of March 11th, 2011. We're approaching the third anniversary. And a part of the humanitarian effort was the use of the Navy, in particular the USS Ronald Reagan, which is a $4.5 billion nuclear powered aircraft carrier with a crew of 5,500 people. Now, this ship sailed on March 12th, the day after the disaster, right into the area off of Fukushima. And they were not told, apparently, that the nuclear power plants there, of course, at that time, not three of them had melted down, but they were in the process of a horrific accident. And the Navy says it was not told. It doesn't appear. Well, of course, the Prime Minister of Japan wasn't told. And what happened to the Reagan, as best we can tell, they got within a mile or two of the shore, a mile or two of the nuclear plant. We've seen photographs with mountains in the background of the ship, and we've had first-person testimony from sailors on the Reagan that they were that close. And in the midst of a snowstorm, according to testimony from the sailors, a warm cloud went over the ship, and there was a metallic taste. Which we know, given the research I've done over the years, this was also present among the airmen who dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and among people at Three Mile Island in the area. And clearly there was a radioactive cloud a very serious radioactive cloud that came out of Fukushima and went over the ship. Now, the sailors on board were told by the captain of the ship to not drink the water and to not take showers, because they were pulling the water out of the ocean and it was being desalinated. But desalinization does not get rid of the radioactivity. So clearly the people who were in command of the ship knew something was happening. They then moved the ship. Apparently, once they got wind, shall we say, of what was happening, they moved it 100 miles offshore. But this new article that I have posted at nukefree.org, where I post all the materials that are coming out of Fukushima, but through the Freedom of Information Act, an American academic living in Tokyo published this article, and he got a hold of a transcript of conversations between naval personnel. And they are talking about an enormous dose of radiation that hit the Reagan even 100 miles away. Once they got 100 miles away, they still got hit by radiation. According to this transcript, which I reproduce, I've got an article up at nukefree.org. It's also at ecowatch.com about this today, Dennis. And it says that the people who were discussing this knew that radiation levels 100 miles away from Fukushima were 36 times background level. I mean, and they explicitly discussed that people who are in this kind of radiation for 10 hours would suffer very clear health effects. And, you know, these sailors were on board ship 24/7. We have pictures of them trying to scrub the thing down, for God's sakes. The governments of Japan, Guam, and South Korea would not allow the Reagan to dock